members, shall we continue with our work? Welcome, Honorable Kwala Bennett. You are welcome, madam. I've seen so many reports that you're on the committee, but I've never seen you in the flesh. Today, you are very welcome that we see you. And I saw one paper saying that sitting on this committee is a demotion. I wasn't aware that I was demoted when I sat in this committee. Yes, I'm fully aware of that. Nevertheless, welcome, colleague. Good folks, shall we continue? Madam Legal Advisor. Peter African, you have your hand up? Yes, yes, please continue.
I did remark to the DM with Brokuchi, but I was still mulling over this issue of mayor masks. I don't know whether you give us an opportunity to deliberate further on that, or whether you've got a different idea.
No, I would like us to deal with the mayor masks now.
Okay.
Honorable Deputy Minister, I think Honorable Sultani still wants to say something in regard to May and Mask. Please continue.
Okay, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity. My take is that at a time when payment has got to be effected, the process would have been dealing with a given person or persons. And therefore, if we raise issue to the extent of saying may, issue with regard to the respondents, people who have been responding to the notice to expropriate and then at this late stage, we want to say the expropriation authority may, you know, withhold the money, but that is the effect of it all. Then it puts to question as to who in fact should, on who should those papers have been served. The local study of the person who has been responding to the notices. And as such, this is where the problem stems from. Who were we dealing with all along? Why should we say now when the appropriating authority may deposit the money? Excuse me. My take is that the appropriating authority should part with the money. Let the money be with the master. And then when courts have dealt with politics and what have you, then the appropriating authority should not be involved, you know, at that stage. Because we need time to see if we are dealing with the right person or not. And that's why I think we go for mass, and I believe we should go for mass. Then that's the case. It should be the case. That's our responsibility.
Thank you. Let me commence with the legal advisor, and then I'll go to Deputy Minister if she still wishes to say something.
Chairperson, let me attempt to assist the committee in respect of the May. I think if we do the math today, we might be faced with clear challenges. For argument's sake, in the case of a dispute, the parties are still in dispute about the compensation, and in the process of the dispute, the parties are saying, we just need a day to decide, we need 2 days. It's not going to leave room for negotiation, that's point number one. Point number two, in the case of an interdependent, obviously it's going to specify and say, pay the money or don't pay the money. So I think it's flexible enough. It might need to be worked a bit, I don't know, but I understand the name is more, it would be better than a mask. So the mask would say, even if the parties are negotiating and they are saying, they're in the process of negotiation, then it would mean the act is saying this money today must go to, must pay to the master. So I think it's going to complicate the case if we say mask. Thank you, Chief. My colleagues from the department will also try to assist me here. Thank you.
Our position, thanks, Chairman. Our position is that we agree with what the parliamentary voice might have said, but on the other hand, we don't have, you know, it's not a big issue. So if the committee would prefer must, that's fine.
Honorable Somachov, followed by Sitole, and Honorable Sitole, and followed by Honorable Sri.
Yeah, no thanks, Honorable Chair. I think I was also agreeing with the colleague, Honorable Hilton. But after the explanation, because I think we are the people that called for mediation and negotiation, it is going to close the people, because when you say, hey, remember that it's still a dispute, where these people are coming and having a record to say, can you give us 20 days and then decide? But if there is demand, there will be no room for negotiations. I think maybe it clarifies what my colleague was asking, because even myself, I was saying, why me and Mark? But now to open the room for negotiations, because it's part, there is a provision of negotiations in that deal. So I think we must use me to allow those negotiations, and also those people, because remember that master is not the owner. But if the owner says, because we must have an open mind and allow people, you know, to voice out and have a request, not just to close, to say, no, we're not talking to you, we direct the money to the master. We must give them the opportunity, because the issue of negotiation is here. And what is good, it was raised by my colleague, Honorable Filtan, saying, no, we must give them the time for mediation and negotiations. So that provision came because he raised that thing. Now if we're going to close the door, it will be of no use for the close thing.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, Honorable Sitsone.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm trying to read the whole sentence of this one, because if you said the sentence says the exploration authority may deposit the amount of compensation payable in terms of this act, payable. It means now if you say payable, it means you cannot say may deposit, because it is payable. It is they must deposit, because it's payable.
Parliamentary legal advisor, okay, you're still following what Honorable Sitsole articulated. Honorable Dre?
Very short, Mr. Chairman, we are satisfied with the May in that position.
Parliamentary legal advisor, madam, when you are ready with your consultation, with your colleagues.
Chairperson, I wanted to comment on the payable, because I see that in 21 there is a payable, but 21 and 22 and sub 2, sub clause 2 are interlinked but two different sub clauses. So when you read two, somehow as a standing subclause. Just let me put it like that. That's what I was struggling to find with payable. The payable is in 12 sub 1.
Honorable Mahalo.
Yes, thanks, Honorable. I think maybe the colleagues are in Section 21. We are not yet there. We're dealing with Section 20, the amended one. So I think let us allow the parliamentary advisor to deal with 21 and then comment when Section is closed by clause. That is the proposal.
Thank you. You may, madam.
Page 18 of the B bill that we are reading from originally, clause 21, chapter 6. Mediation and determination by court. Mediation and determination by court. 21.1. If the expropriation authority and expropriated owner or expropriated holder do not agree on the amount of compensation, they may attempt to settle this dispute by mediation, which must be initiated and finalized without undue delay by either party. Two, if the expropriation authority or disputing party are unable to settle the dispute by consensus in the manner contemplated in Section 1, or if the disputing party did not agree to mediation, the expropriating authority must refer the matter to a competent court to decide or approve just and equitable compensation, provided that nothing in this section must change the ordinary civil honor. Three,
Subsection 2 does not preclude a person from approaching a court on any matter relating to the application of this Act. 4. Where a court finds that a provision of this Act has not been complied with, it must make such an order as it considers just and equitable, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including the nature and extent of the interest of the person who has challenged the conduct in question B, the materiality of the non-compliance, C, the state which has enriched in the expropriation process, and D, the interest of other persons which may be affected by the relief which is ordered. 5. A dispute on the amount of compensation alone does not trigger the operation of Section 9.
Thank you. It's under your understanding is very good. Enige commentaar, comments, questions, members? Let's move on.
Clause 22, as an expropriation. 22 sub 1, an expropriation authority may, if a property is required on an urgent basis, take the right to use property temporarily for a period not exceeding 12 months.
Madam?
Why
can't
you
find me special? Because your interjection sounded mid-sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry. She finished the sentence.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't want to be rude.
Please.
I didn't want to be rude, but yeah. I just want to make sure that I drew your attention before we carried on to the next paragraph. We want to propose a small addition. And I'll read the words. It's the words for so long as it is presently required. And it should go, let me read the whole thing. An expropriating authority may, if a property is required on an urgent basis, take a right to use property temporarily and then add for so long as it is urgently required. And then continue, which period may not exceed 12 months. And the reason really is just to make sure that it's no longer urgently required that people don't necessarily sit on the property for the full period of 12 months, which the law then allows them to do, which may be of great inconvenience to the owners or even at the financial loss to the owners. So this is just to make sure that it's not abused, the 12-month period is not abused.
Okay.
One has got no objection on this one because the maximum is 12 months.
To say so long as it's still required because you may need it maybe for 6 months or 8 months.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Fritani, to finish,
I agree with the last speaker, Chair, because the fixing the period creates certainty. But if we stay for as long, it could very well be 12 years. It's a state, not more than 12 months. So that the expropriating authority knows that they have got time limit which is prescribed by the Act, rather than to have to determine whether it's still required or not. If I understood the Honorable Trey, I've noted you, Honorable Trey.
But you know, I think my colleague doesn't understand me correctly, that not exceeding a period of 12 months still stands. Yes. So within that period of 12 months, say they use it for 3 months, and then it's done. Whatever you want to do is done. And then it's important that the authority doesn't still continue to occupy that property for the full period of 12 months. So as soon as the purpose for which it was occupied has passed, and it may be 3 months or 4 months, then they must move off the property again. But it says still there for, temporarily for a period not exceeding 12 months. Just a limited to a shorter period if it's no longer absolutely necessary. Mr. Chairman, it's just to create further clarity and certainty to the expropriated owner.
I've heard you
Honorable
Minister,
and
the legal fraternity, there's agreement from the department. Shall we then move to thank you.
Sub 2, the power referred to in subsection 1 may only be exercised if suitable property held by the national, provincial, and local government is not available under the current circumstances. A, in the case of a disaster as defined in the Disaster Management Act 2002, Act No. 57 of 2002, or B, where a court grants an order that an expropriation authority. Mr. J?
Yes.
No, I wasn't good enough. 22A. Just a concern. In case of a disaster, this power is necessary. We understand that. However, there's no reason why the expropriating authority should not be required to bring an urgent application to a court for an urgent expropriation to validate its actions before taking such a step. It's just to make 100% sure that there's any abuse, that there's not any abuse of power.
Members, comments, questions on the proposal made? Member Sultan, I will comment on different elements of this 22 okay, radio issue, and then people will still think about the proposal tabled by Honorable Trey.
Okay. Okay. I cannot recall that there is provision for use of one's property and on an urgent basis on the along the lines of like so to speak. I know that if the property is finally expropriated, yes, there will be compensation. Maybe it's just my memory that is failing me. Let's say it's used for 6 months or something. I think there should be some compensation for that. I cannot recall if we've got that provision. As much as we are talking about the right to do so, to that is use the property.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Marco. Yes, you had up now.
Yes.
Followed by Honorable Marcier.
Mine was on the proposal for the colleague. I did not hear well what was the proposal, what was her proposal around the issue of the powers being used. What provision we put to prevent abuse of power? I did not hear it very well.
Honorable Dreyer, you may privilege your colleague with re-articulation of your proposal, ma'am.
There's no disaster, but just urgent. There's a difference between a disaster because disasters are carried out in the Disaster Management Act. But if it's not a disaster, there are other reasons for an urgent application. We feel it necessary to bring an urgent application for the validation of the actions, either before taking this action or within a week of taking this action. This is just to prevent any possible abuse of power.
Honorable Memasir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I thought in my understanding we are talking of a land that is going to be expropriated. But because of an urgent need to use it, then we come to this issue of using it temporarily for not more than 12 months. Otherwise, the whole thing is still going to go on the same way, even the compensation will go on the same way. But because we need it more urgently, is there that we have got this interjection of 12 months temporarily.
Thank you. We go to the act of God. Disaster. Deputy Minister? I'm not qualified so far, I forgot.
just to point out that to, in regard to Honorable Dreyer's point, that 2A, there the disaster must be a disaster as defined by the Disaster Management Act. All the other items
where an urgent expropriation can happen, we have to be by way of a court proceeding. Okay, so we think your issue is covered. Okay. And then in terms of compensation, obviously this is an expropriation of a particular kind, it's an expropriation, therefore there must be compensation constitutionally and in terms of this bill. The one difference is that the date of payment is different. It's not on possession. Clearly, take possession that day. And sub 5 deals with due within 45 days of the notice. A written offer of compensation must be and so on, which could be rental, could take any number of forms.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. On that godly note. Are we all together? Shall we move, good folks?
Please. Where a court grants an order that an expropriating authority is entitled to use the provisions of Section 3-1 and in exceptional circumstances that justify action under Section 1. 2, create an imminent danger of substantial injury or damage to life and property. Or 3, any other ground which, in the view of the court, justifies action under Subsection 1. 3, should an expropriating authority exercise the power referred to in Subsection 1, the expropriating authority is exempted from compliance with the provisions of Section 5.1, 6.1, and 7.1. 4, the owner or the holder whose right in property has been taken for temporary use in terms of possession is entitled to just and equitable compensation as calculated, determined and paid in terms of this act. 5, the expropriating authority must, within 45 days of the notice to use the property temporarily, make a written offer of compensation to the owner or the holder.
Honourable Mellor.
The word temporarily, how long temporarily? How long could be sustained? So we think it's too wide open, and we want to add a specific time frame at, say, like within 20 days. It says here, it talks about to use the property temporarily. What does temporarily mean? How long is temporarily? Well, it says within 45 days of the notice to use the property, make a written offer. Okay, but yeah, temporarily, how long do you want to use this? Is temporarily still a year, or after 3 years it's still temporarily? I think it should be defined, and it should be a limit in time, so there must be a time frame included. If you have your people on the land, say temporarily, but in effect they are, you can almost say it's like renting, they're renting your property, but except that you don't get any rent out of it.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Mayor.
I'm not sure whether I'm going to cover the colleague, because when we read 7A, it says it reads that if an expropriating authority wishes to extend the period of temporary usage beyond 12 months, and the owner or the holder whose rights in the property, I think there is a 12 month and extension that will be there. It's part of it. Maybe if we can just finish the clause first to see whether it doesn't cover, and then we come in. Because if you read 7A, it does say the temporary usage beyond 12 months, and the owner or the holder whose right in the property has been taken is not willing to agree thereto, the expropriating authority may approach the court for an extension of the period. That's where 18 months will be down.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member de la Vigée, do you have Honourable Member?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think she has just come at me because the temporarily has been qualified right at the top there, that the temporarily is 12 months. But if one wishes to extend it, it is also still qualified that you cannot extend for more than 18 months. Maybe we should allow us to go through the whole clause, read the whole clause, then if ever we have got anything to note it somewhere, then once the whole clause has been read,
we come back and then we try to get clarity on each and every one. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. It seems there's a concurrence there. We're still moving together, but trying to articulate where we've got consensus or a lack of clarity in order to get concurrence where possible. Shall we continue?
Mr. Chair, one last part of this one. The expediting authority can have 45 days to use of notice and then make a written offer of compensation. So that 45 days is also too long. It's a month and a half. So you can use your property, and only then do you get an offer of compensation. I think that time should also be shortened, and I suppose within 20 days.
Let's bear in mind, but I would like to propose that we follow the suggestion. Let's read the entire clause and then note if we want to comment on A, B, or any other section, then we can go back to the beginning again. Could we kindly follow that procedure?
6. If the property taken for temporary use in terms of this section is damaged during the use of the property, the appropriating authority must repair that damage or compensate the owner or the holder concerned for the damage.
It's fine that you must be compensated for any possible damage, but the thing here is to what extent or to what level. So the standard of reparation. So it must be at the same standards as the property was before the temporary use by the expropriating authority. So we want to include the standard of repair.
I've heard you. What I'd like us to do is let's note the issues. I'd just like us to go through the entire clause. When we've gone through the entire clause, there might be subsections that are needed. So we'll still be able to articulate whatever it is that you want to articulate. But if we have that higher sense, and then we can go systematically through the A, 1, 2, 3, whatever of the clause. Thank you.
7A. If an expropriation authority wishes to extend the period of temporary usage beyond 12 months and the owner or the holder whose right and property has been taken is not willing to agree that the expropriating authority may approve the court for extension of the period. B, the court may, on sufficient cause shown by the expropriating authority, extend the period of temporary usage. C, the period of extension may not exceed the period of 18 months from the date the property was taken for temporary use in terms of subsection 1. 8, if the court refuses to grant an extension as applied for in terms of subsection 7, the expropriating authority must vacate the property on the expiry of the period of temporary use or on the date agreed by the parties or determined by the court. 9, an expropriating authority may at any time during the temporary use of the property commence with the expropriation of the property and must comply with all relevant provisions of this act.
Thank you very much, Madam Legal, Parliamentary Legal Advisor. We can now revert and flag the issues that we want to raise in regard to the various aspects of the clause. Honorable Sitole?
Thank you, Chair. No, mine is just to check with the local advisor. You see in clause 22, 23 to 9, we have about seven temporary. Now that, because if I just clear out the whole determination of this expropriation, because if you check on top the age of expropriation actually supposed to be, I don't know, sometimes I'm confused, I don't know. But there's a lot of temporary.
Thank you, Honorable Sitole. It will assist if you can just say where there's a lack of clarity, where you'd like to see more clarity, or which particular phrase or section you need the clarity on. You are not the only one. Now and then, all of us meet areas where there isn't much clarity, but by articulating it, we are able to get assistance from colleagues or from the legal fraternity. So if you could just kindly indicate where exactly don't, where is it not really clear, then that will help. So I'll give you another chance. In the meantime, let me go to Mem Marcel, and then I come to you, Honorable Sultan. Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think this chapter on its own isn't expropriation. It talks about temporary usage, and that's why we have a lot of temporary usage within it. But Chair, I wanted to have more clarity, to have an understanding from the layman's point of view on 7C, which says the period of extension may not exceed a period of 8 months from the date the property was taken for temporary use in terms of section subsection 1. What does it actually mean? Does it mean in reality it's only 6 months that is extended, or is it really 18 months from the late point? What does it mean?
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Sultan, back to the battles of the mass and the maze. 22.5, appropriating authority must 245 days. Vis-à-vis 22.9, expropriation authority may at any time commence the expropriation of the property. Where do we actually stay? Do we say are we for the mass within 45 days, or are we saying may at any time? Because the two, to my mind, do not necessarily mean the same thing. We're specific in the first one, mass, and the same 45 days. With the second one, we say may at any time. I don't see how two can be interpreted to mean the same thing. Thank you very much, Honourable Member Sultani. Honourable Member Matlop.
No, thanks, no, mine was on what my colleague was raising about the extension and 18 months. Because here we are also talking about the disaster. Let me say the disaster is continuing beyond 18 months, even if you approach the court. What is going to happen before you finalize the issue of the expropriation, the process of expropriation? That's my question, because I see that the limit, we are not saying that, we are just closing it, 18 months, not exceed 18 months, even after the court. But because this is an unforeseeable situation, like disaster and so on, why do we limit ourselves? Why don't we maybe open up, maybe regard it open up, say that, because you will do it in conjunction with the court. You know, it's not something that you can abuse. But if you say strictly 18 months, because this thing is urgent, other disasters, other situations, I'm not sure. My colleague was asking it on the other way. I think our clarity is based on this ceiling of 18 months.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mother, Honorable Trey.
I'm talking to 22.5, the one that I raised before. I just want to speak to that again and maybe expand on that. Now, given the nature of an urgent expropriation and the burden it can be, it can place on the owner or holder of rights, we believe that offer should be made within 20 days. This 45 days is simply too long. And also a silence on when the payment will be made. Would it be an agreement Will they give a property back to the owner? These are deficiencies that must be rectified.
Thank you very much. Legal advisors, Deputy Minister. Okay, no, I'll do my best to publish you. First of all, just in terms of temporary, let's remember that under 22 sub 1, we've agreed to Honourable Dwayne's addition for so long as it is urgently required. So that further stipulates what it is that we mean by temporary. It's not just can't exceed 12 months, but even within the 12 month period, if it's not urgently required, the temporariness of the thing is terminated. So just to make that clear, I think your concern later is covered already by our acceptance of the amendment that you suggested under 21. The 45 days doesn't mean under sub 5. 45 days, I mean, it could well be 3 days of occupation to deal with some cataclysmic event or whatever. But the temporarily expropriated person or entity must be compensated. So that we wouldn't have problem with, for instance, bringing it down to 30 days, let's say. So maybe that could be accepted. Just in terms of to the same standards, which is legitimate, which raises a different matter for us. So let me just read it. The property taken for temporary use in terms of the station is damaged during the use of the property. The expropriating authority must repair such damage or compensate the owner or the holder concerned for the damage. Let's say it's a farm and there's a terrible flood in the whole area and the farm itself suffers flood damage or whatever. The expropriating authority should necessarily be responsible for the act of God in this case. What we're going to say is any damage caused by the use of the property must be compensated by the use of expropriating authority. So maybe we could say if we're taking for temporary use in terms of the sector damage by the use of the property or whatever legal term is more effective, just to make it clear. But same standard is a very problematic term. I think we've raised the matter previously when it came to conversation. So we prefer to, I mean, certainly, again, it's in the committee's hands, but we would prefer to say that, apart from the change I suggested, that we leave it as it is. And clearly, if there's dissatisfaction, then as with all compensation, it can be taken to both mediation and or to the court. Those things that cover compensation in general could also be the case here. So if the person's helped us, the expropriating authority really hadn't seriously repaired the damage or compensated. That could be taken to court.
Okay, Ms. Lee, if I could just clarify then. So what I understand is that there's a flood. Obviously, the expropriating authority can't be held responsible for that, the act of God. But anything done on the property by the expropriating authority, a damage caused as a result thereof, that damage must be repaired. But we can't just leave it open-ended. Repaired to what standard? And to repair, it must be to a satisfactory level. Otherwise, the owner can still suffer damage as a result of the temporary use of his or her property.
Thanks. It was the may and must, which was very low. Okay. So at sub 5, it's important to say must, and we've agreed to 30 days, if the committee agrees. That's an obligation, so the person can't be left hanging for a long time after the expropriation happens. But under sub 9, the expropriating authority might be like, hang on, this is a long-term problem. For instance, and
therefore they may proceed then with a normal expropriation and not an urgent expropriation. So the, but there's no must about it. The circumstances may suggest, well, the farm has been so destroyed that we need to use it for a different purpose. The state needs to take it over in the public interest in order to build protective walls or whatever to prevent further flooding in the future and so on. And so one would then proceed with a normal expropriation. You may, but you don't want to say you have to do it. Because it might be just a temporary problem and the expropriation authority is over for a period of a temporary period and that's it. But if it looks like a long-term thing, one can foresee the sea as being the case. The reason why the terrible flooding was that there was insufficient canalization or damming or whatever, and therefore public works are required in the public interest and for a public purpose. So that would be the main.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable Vitani and then Honorable Trey.
Thank you, Chair. The information that has been provided by the DM makes it sound all the more confusing, I'm afraid to say. And my recommendation is that we do away with sub-clause 9. Because this option, it lends the owner to a situation where they might have to wait for indefinite period. Because it says that any time during the temporary usage, and mind you, in earlier provisions, sub-clauses here, we have made provision for even an extension of the initial period. And this could therefore be a whole 2 years before he gets an offer. And the producing authority would say, I'm using my rights, I'm exercising my rights in terms of sub-clause 9. If we want 45 days, must, because this is temporary use. We can't say may at any time if we are dealing with the concept of temporary use. You know, it's no longer temporary. We say may at any time, given this potential extension of the period. We must within a period, a given period, we must agree. It can create a lot of uncertainty because there may very well be a protracted process of even negotiating the compensation amount. So where the owner here stands potentially exposed to uncertainty. Remember that for everything, and you can't use your property. You're not getting any rent for it and so forth. So let's just get away, do away with clause 9, if we prefer clause 5. Thank you.
Honorable Sultani, thanks. I think the next speaker was Honorable Trace, then by Honorable Madrox.
Yes, Mr. Chair, what's the matter 22.5 in terms of the written cloth compensation to the owner? That's fine, but I think we need to expand on that clause to say, you know, you could make any offer, but it must be acceptable to the owner. And then, of course, we must say, when will this compensation be paid? Will it be next year or next decade or when? So it must be paid within a reasonable time. So I would ask legal advisors to expand on that clause to talk about when the payment will be made and that the payment is acceptable to the owner.
Shall we take Honorable Mazofa?
Yes.
And then thereafter I'll give the Department, Parliamentary and State Law Advisors a chance for a rejoinder. Thank you.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. On the issue of Section 5 and subsection 9 raised by my colleague Honorable Vikan to say we must take away subsection 9. I'm not sure because the way that he's advancing his argument is saying that those people are not going to get anything. But if you read the subsection 5, it says the expropriating authority must within 30 days, that's what you have reduced from 45 days, within 30 days of the notice to use the property temporarily, make a written offer of the compensation to the owner or the holder. To me, it does not say that he or she cannot be compensated.
because it's part of it. I think the section 9 is talking.
Yes. That's a point of correction. I didn't say that they will not get anything. Can we do this? Complaining about uncertainty, protracted uncertainty.
Oh, okay. On 9. Yeah, because it says expropriating authority that may start the time. They are saying that that clause must go out. To me, I was thinking that if they use this particular property in for public interest, they can commence this particular process of notifying. I don't know, because if you need it, that this thing is temporarily, but we want to expropriate it. So if they start the process, if they need it further, you know, they have to start the process, not just close it. Because they need it, it's for expropriation. But to get to it as early as they can, it was because it was urgent. But the longer term is that it needs to be expropriated. So they need to start the process, because if they don't start the process, we want to close the uncertainty to the owner. Now we are starting a process to say this is what's going to happen. I don't know, colleague, but to me I was thinking that it's still relevant, this section, subsection 9 of this item. And on section expropriation of those must within 7 days of the notice to use the property temporarily. The one that was raised by the colleague, Breyer, I think there is a provision in this bill. If we are not happy about what is happening, you take the matter up, all the parties. Therefore, that's right to take the matter up. If you see that your property is not in the standard that you think it must be, you can take it up also. There is a provision in this
Thank you very much, honorable members. Okay, before I avail the opportunity to the parliament and legal advisors for a rejoinder, honorable Mathias.
Thank you, honorable chair. I just wanted to, before they give a rejoinder, the department, to talk to the RNC also, as will be explaining the remaining.
Thank you. Would you like to commence?
Yes, thank you. Chairperson, I'll start commenting on surprise. My understanding, Chairperson, or my interpretation of the number of days, which of course is after the committee decides, is when you're determining the compensation, let me start by saying we must not lose sight of reading this clause with other provisions within the bill. Because if you do that, we can't do it in isolation. So the reason I'm saying that the number of days, the 45 days for argument's sake, that's a month and a half ahead. Remember, when you're determining the compensation, there are certain steps that you need to take. You need to look into, follow those steps that you're talking about, just and equity and all of that. So if you take lesser number of days, you might be sitting in a situation whereby the expropriating authority is forced to make an offer that hasn't taken everything into account by the time they're making an offer. That's why, for me, the word that said within, it means you can make it less, you can make it 20 days, you can make it 5 days, depending on what you need to consider before making the compensation, that offer of compensation. That's the first comment in terms of the number of days. In my comment in respect of 6, if you're 6, it says the expropriating authority must repair such damage. You repair such damage, the damage that you have made. And if you say, for argument's sake, putting standard of repair, you're putting it to the standard that it was, then the question would be, who's going to determine the standard? How is the standard going to determine? If you're repairing something, you're preparing it to the way it was, you break my car, give me back my car, that's my understanding. I think I cannot do the court interpreting it any differently. And that's my attempt to respond on that. And when you go to 9,
Also, I'll again refer to what I said about you must look into it from the point of view of all the provisions of the Act. If you look at the last part, you must comply with all the provisions of the Act, which means if the expropriating authority sees that this, we want to expropriate, but it's not urgent, or it's not urgent anymore, or and all of that, then they will follow the normal course of events of the other provisions of the Act. How do you expropriate? How do you follow those steps that have been discussed and introduced?
Thank you very much, Madam. Deputy Minister.
Yes, thanks to the Parliamentary Lord, but I think that's helpful in line with what we were wanting to say. But I think that the DA has correctly raised the points which we've overlooked. Under sub 5.
Okay.
So we're agreeing, I think the committee is agreeing, that we bring down the time limit to 30 days. So the offer, a written offer of compensation, must be made within 30 days. But when does the payment end? Because remember, there's a difference between an urgent, in a normal expropriation, payments must be made once the right of possession has been transferred to the thing.
Here,
possession has happened urgently. And there can be an offer of compensation with things that said yes, but when critically does the payment happen? So we do need to find lawyers behind me to find language to address that. Whether we set them in a reasonable time or whether that's not good enough. If we could, but we're conceding the point. We think that is exactly right. In regards to 7C, the issue of 8 months, 18 months means from the date that the property was originally taken. So it's not 12 months, but 18 months. 18 months. Okay. A court may extend, therefore, for a further 6 months from the date of that temporary use, that possession was taken urgently. So all in all, it's a year and a half, with the court allowing the extra 6 months. Otherwise, so that's what intended. Under sub 9, I think Parliamentary Lord and the Honourable Mark Glover has covered the point. Frankly, sub 9 isn't saying anything. It could actually just be thrown away. Because everything, all the rest in this bill allows an expropriating authority to expropriate, in line with it. It's dispensable. It's up to the committee to decide whether they want to keep it in. We don't think there's any evil in keeping it in, because it refers into and my law advisor said keep it in. But just because in fact that's the spirit with which we're approaching generally is that there's a lot of things that the lawyers are saying, it's a bit redundant, you keep teasing the point and so on. But we intend this to be a sort of manual for the practitioner to provide as much guidance as possible to administrators basically, and also obviously to the public who may be involved in the thing. So we're not providing the easiest piece of legal legislation. It's more, and our intention obviously is also to develop a handbook for the minister, to develop a handbook also to provide guidance. But in short, the point is, it doesn't leave the person hanging in uncertainty. Compensation is made for the urgent expropriation, and it typically would be met, actually, plus obviously repair of damage and things like that. And then in the course of that, the expropriating authority might, or another expropriating authority might realize that there's a need to actually expropriate in the public interest or public purpose. The longer term, and which I think is kicking. So that's all that 9 is saying. And then the normal processes will have to be followed. Legal advice, say keep it in, but this is going to be the start.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. First, Honourable Fultani, followed by Honourable Treye, and then Honourable Matlop.
Thank you, sir. In terms of the response here, let's go back to 22.7.3. I think there is now a definite call for that sub-clause to will be rephrased. As it stands, it creates the impression that this 18 months is on top of the initial period, because it refers to a period of extension. And in 2021, we spoke of the right to use the property temporarily. It was explained later as to when, you know, actual possession by the expropriating authority could take place. So with that, we need to be specific, you know, to exactly what to want to convey. Because we speak of the extension, not the initial occupation. So, you know, I understand the sense of that the DM is a slave. I mean, for somebody else's question. But I think for clarity, we need to rephrase it. I humbly suggest. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Dreyer, you're next.
Mr. Chair, I want to support my colleague in front of me, his name is Paul Tony, as well as the Deputy Minister, regarding the removal of clause 22.9. And I say so because I refer you to number clause 2, application of the Act, right at the beginning, application of the Act to subsection 2. It says subject to section 22, and that's the one that we're dealing with now. A power to expropriate a property may not be exercised unless the expropriating authority has without success attempted to reach an agreement with the owner of an unregistered, with an holder of an unregistered, with the owner or the holder of an unregistered right in the property for the acquisition on reasonable terms. So that clearly, very clearly prescribes how the authority can or should expropriate. They have to attempt to reach an agreement. So it actually is in contradiction or contradicts the subsection 9 under 22. Which they may just at any time commence with expropriation. They may not just at any time commence with the expropriation. We must follow the application of the Act, subsection 242.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dreyer. Honorable Madrop.
No, Honorable Chair. I was trying to get an understanding around the issue of the offer, written offer of compensation to the owner or the holder. What will inform the offer if we are not following? I know that it's a temporary, it's an agency, but if we are saying the expropriating authority must within 30 days of notice to use the property temporarily, make a written offer of the compensation to the owner or the holder, what will inform the offer? Are we not going to follow all those steps that will make you determine the correct offer to the owner? I'm just throwing this one, because if you are saying agent and then just put an offer, limit the day. And are we going maybe in future to have a challenge to say that you said within 30 days? Because it will be like just prematurely and just make an offer, you know, without taking into consideration all the processes and all the documentation that is required, including valuation of the property and so on and so forth. I'm saying that because this is an act that is going to last longer. You are saying 30 days. I know the bureaucracy when the implementation takes place. I'm worried about after the explanation to reduce 45 to 30, because when you are talking about making offer, even if I am not paying, you are making an offer based on the amount that you are going to pay. What will inform your offer if you did not follow the process that is in the bill? I'm just asking a question. I'm having a fear or a concern to say that at a later stage we may have a problem being taken into court to say you said 30 days, you know, make an offer and you find that you haven't applied well your mind because of this consideration that you have not taken, Honorable Chair. Yeah, when it comes to line, Honorable Chair, you know, to me, subsection 9 is important in a sense to say that we are talking about agent expropriation here. If we don't make a provision under that topic, agent expropriation, to say that when need arises, the expropriating authority will do the expropriating process. They will say that it's not under agent expropriation in the future. Mm-hmm. So I think the PM was correct to say that, yes, it is covered on the other side, and here we're trying to make sure that we close the gap, because we are talking about under the topic, agent expropriation. And if you don't say that, when need arises, that the particular property is still needed, because now remember that they have gone to the court, they've made an extension, but the property is still needed. If you don't make a provision to say that you will follow the processes for expropriation, it may create a gap, because it doesn't harm anything if it is here, but it protects, you know, it protects us to say that there is a provision that at a later stage when it arises, expropriation will be done following all the processes that is required. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Madam. Honorable Sitoni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, Honorable Mahabu have covered me, because my concern was on subsection 9. If member says we must actually get rid of that clause, what does it harm when we keep it in here? Because when we check the from subsection 1 to subsection 8, in that subsection 9 it actually cover the whole process of what is going to happen on this. This is what actually I'm trying to find out, what harms us as a member to keep this one.
Yeah, bon, Baba. A rejoinder from the department or legal advisors will be appreciated, so that we can have clarity, refine the views of members, and see where we can find each other. So, Kitu Nazara, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In respect of 5 of 5, my comments are in line with through your Chairperson, with what the honourable member said about the number of gates. Because I'm also concerned about reducing the number, but as we indicated earlier, it's up to the committee to determine, because we don't want a situation whereby you're sitting with 30 days and 30 days is not enough, and all the time people are saying, your ex is saying 30 days you must make an offer. Forget about stories of you still consulting us or you're dealing with the issue. So the number of days, that's why my comment was saying, if you're saying within 45 days, opening it enough to say, you can make it 1 day, you can make it 5 days, you can make it 20, you can make it 30, and of course you can't have it unlimited. It has to have in some way. Secondly, on C7C, the period, can I just read it out? The period of extension may not exceed a period of 18 months from the date the period was taken for temporary use in terms of subsection 1, which means going back to subsection 1 to say from that date that's referred to in subsection 1. For me, that clarifies that the last part that says from the date the property was taken for temporary use, which means you would say from day 1, which would mean your 18 months includes that 12 months. That's my reading of the Chairperson. And what was the other question? Let me just take those questions and other people can comment on others.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Honorable Deputy Minister.
So getting this subpart, can we read, and I'll read it slowly, how we are proposing, this is legal advice, how we're proposing to take into account the issue of payment. So the expropriating authority must make an offer of compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder within a reasonable time, within 30 days. Sorry, I can draft it quickly. I can do it again. Expropriated authority might make an offer of compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder within 30 days from the date on which the notice to use the property temporarily is given, comma, and payment must be made within a reasonable time thereafter, colon, provided that in the event of any dispute, the provisions of Section 21 apply. In other words, if there's a dispute, reference to arbitration and or court is preserved. So that's how I tend to address that. I think that under 7C, the parliamentary advisor said exactly what we would want to say, that the 18 months starts ticking from the date that the property was taken from temporary use. And then under subsection 9, I'm saying I don't think anything is lost if we leave out, but we'd prefer to keep it in. But then in regard to the point that Honourable Dreyer made, referring us to sub 2, which says that there must be some attempt, we think that that's covered by must comply with all relevant provisions of this Act. So 2 sub 2 is a provision of this Act. So the commencement of an expropriation, if it's to be a legal expropriation, the normal one, would first have to be preceded in terms of 2-2 by a negotiating process, which if it succeeds, then it succeeds. Otherwise, then. Okay.
Thank you very much, Parliamentary Legal Advisor and Deputy Minister, Honourable Sultani, sir.
Thank you, sir. 22.1 and 7.6. I think taking a right and taking occupation are two different things. That's where my client comes from. Those are two totally different things. You can take your right, but not physically occupy, but having the right. And that's why I say if you want to have this 70, we need to rephrase it and specify, not just refer to 22.1. When we talk about taking a right, let's specify that from the date a right to occupy was taken. Or else we say from the date on which occupation was taken, because having a right and actually physical occupying are two totally different things. May have the right and never exercise it. That's the whole point. Yes. Thank you.
Issues have been mulled over by everybody. Kunjalo wasoli. Sidlama Bashin, Sidlama Tamba, Amkon.
Very quickly on that, the reasons and issue there, and we'll just align one and seven other the point. Of.
Good folks, shall we take another step forward and continue?
Chapter 8, clause 23, withdrawal of expropriation. 23.1.8, notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in any law, the expropriating authority may withdraw any expropriation from a date mentioned in a notice of withdrawal if the withdrawal of that expropriation is in the public interest, or the reason for which the property was expropriated is no longer applicable. B. The notice of withdrawal contemplated in paragraph A must be set on every person on whom the notice of expropriation in question was served. 2. An expropriation may not be withdrawn A. after the expiration of 3 months from the date of expropriation, except with the written consent of the expropriated owner and all expropriated holders, or in the absence of a written consent, if a court on application by the expropriating authority authorizes the withdrawal on the ground that it is in the public interest that the expropriation be withdrawn. C. if where the expropriated property is land, the property has already been registered in the name of the expropriating authority in consequence of the expropriation. Or C, if the expropriating authority has already paid compensation in connection with such expropriation, unless the agreement in writing of every person to whom the compensation has been paid is obtained. Three, if an expropriation of property is withdrawn, A, ownership of the property concerned against this from the date contemplated in subsection 1 in the owner from whom it was expropriated, and any mortgage bonds and other rights charged or expropriated in connection with or as a consequence of the expropriation are fully revived. B, the register of deeds or the register of any other office at which such expropriated right was registered or recorded must, on receipt of a copy of the notice of withdrawal, cancel any document made in connection with the expropriation in his or her registers and on the title deed in question. And C, the expropriating authority is liable for all reasonable costs and damages incurred or suffered by a claimant as a result of such withdrawal.
Honorable Chair.
Section 23, subsection 2. We're happy with that, satisfied with that, except we want to add something. We want to add two further paragraphs. If there were a process of expropriation and they stop it now, we want to propose that it should not happen if the property is land and the expropriated owner has already found alternative accommodation, which he or she may have paid for or otherwise financially committed. In that case, the expropriated owner will suffer damages if suddenly the expropriation is cancelled. So in such an event, it should not proceed. And I can give you the exact words we can propose, or I can just maybe talk, say it firstly. So do we propose B? After B and C, we propose to add B, which should read, if where the expropriated property is land, the expropriated owner or holder has already found alternative accommodation which he or she has either paid for or is already financially committed to, unless the expropriated owner or holder provides a written consent to the expropriation being withdrawn. And then we propose a further paragraph, an E, which will read, if where the expropriated property is land, the expropriated owner or holder has already vacated the premises, unless the expropriated owner or holder provides written consent to the expropriation being withdrawn. I think it speaks for itself. It is reasonable to not stop the expropriation if the expropriated owner has already moved off or made financial commitments for a substitute property.
Before you, Honorable President, could you privilege us with a recap, Honorable Trey, so that members can just follow where you would like the additions made?
Sure. If Chapter 8, withdrawal of expropriation, then clause 23, there's an A, B, 23.1, then A, B, and then there's 23.2, A, B, and C, and we then propose to add D and E, the two paragraphs that I've read out to you. Do you want me to read them out again, or you just want to indicate the place, the position where we want the insertion?
Thanks for indicating the position, but I think it would be important to read the proposed insertion.
Okay, I'll do that with pleasure. So, paragraph B should read, if the expropriated property is land, the expropriated owner or holder has already found alternative accommodation which he or she has either paid for or is already financially committed to, unless the expropriated owner or holder provides written consent to the expropriation being withdrawn. And then the next paragraph, B, sorry, E, it was D and E, E should then read, if where the expropriated property is land, the expropriated owner or holder has already vacated the premises, unless the expropriated owner or holder provides a written consent to the expropriation being withdrawn.
You have it, members, at least have you been able to follow, to note the contribution by the member? Honorable Fulani, you had?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
You may swallow first.
Okay.
In case that then I heard an expression, they say that I won't cut me a tap. One of the two will manage, but will not survive. Yeah, this is a very, very challenging chapter or close, yeah, chapter actually. It involves quite a lot. And I'm not sure if we can really anticipate the potential suffering that could result from the withdrawal. Number one, you may get, qualify rather, get a bond this month. 2 or 3 months down the line, you no longer qualify. You've changed jobs, your income has changed, what have you. And so when the withdrawal comes, you may not be able to put yourself in the same situation in which you were when the notice of expropriation was served on you. Now here we talk of a reasonable and free fee. We talk of liability on the part of the expropriating authority for all reasonable costs and damages. There is a possibility that the state is opening itself up for high damages. Because if an expropriated holder or owner finds that when they are going to reapply for a bond, they no longer qualify, he could very well say to the state, you can have the property, I want you to put me in the same position in which I was when I qualified, when I held my property, and it was so hard to qualify to get that bond. I'm not saying that we should exclude damages, but I just want us to rethink how we want to protect the interests both of the state as well as those of the potential expropriated persons. Because there is a strong possibility that one may not, in the immediate future, still qualify to get a bond in a particular area of a particular property and so on. So I must confess that I don't have an instant solution, but I just wanted to bring this to the attention of the House that there's some serious thinking that needs to be done, you know, in order to address the issue I've just raised. I'm raising 3A together with 3C. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Honorable, for that. In regard to the thing that you have read, even the key word reasonable. Damages. The expropriating authority is liable for all reasonable costs and damages. So I'm saying that even that the key determination, what is reasonable. But fine. The point has been made, colleagues have read it, and the legal advisors have read it, so I'm sure they give us the benefit of the use. Yeah?
On the additional the D and the E that the Honourable Dredd proposed, one thought is that indeed 3C covers the issue, arguably. But so could we say that we would like to help the committee with proper consideration of the proposals on B and E? So rather than like dismiss them at this point or fiddle with them, could we say that because we'd like our council basically just to think about the potential knock-on effects in other parts of the bill and just the wording. So we understand what is addressed. And one of the questions we can ask you to look at is whether C, 3C, covers it. In other words, reasonable cost and damages. In regard to the Honourable Sultani, we think it's those claims are valid insofar as they are a result of the withdrawal of the expropriation and not a change in your life circumstances. Okay. So you couldn't say, well, I took out a bond, took out a mortgage, and now I can't other things in my life have changed. It's what must trigger a claim for reasonable cost or damage would be the consequence of a withdrawal of expropriation and not other realities. Okay. So, we are sympathetic to exactly what Honorable Jay is raising, because we can concede that that could have happened. We're just concerned that it's a complicated area, so Honorable sort of understand. So could we put it down, we'll write it up, the versions that you've given us, maybe with a little bit of language, a sort of legal language change, but just try to get it, and then if we could weigh it up, maybe it's at the stage of voting in the committee, so if we could proceed that way, rather than just try to do something on hoof, which would be your concern.
That seems to be concurrence. You flagged it for drafting. Honorable Matop.
Yes, Honorable Chair, I have been very interested in go back and look at this. But the way that I was looking at this in subsection 2, going forward and saying that an expropriation may not be withdrawn, there are conditions that have been put there. And even the issue of consent is part of this. If we read it thoroughly, what my colleague has raised, I think it's covered, but I will allow that to go back and look at it as the DM saying. But it even says both parties must agree. You know, even for steps, if we read carefully, maybe we'll make an amendment, but when we read subsection 2 from A upwards, it gives you a step to say this will not happen. Written consent of the expropriated owner. No, all those things can come forward, but let's take what the DM is saying, let them revisit that particular clause and stamp it to us. As I saw their position for all this.
Our understanding is that the issues aren't quite covered. The issues where the expropriating authority can't withdraw an expropriation would be one, 3 months. From the date of expropriation, so close to expropriation. Secondly, where it's already registered in the name of the expropriating authority. Or three, the compensation has already been paid. At those points, you couldn't withdraw an expropriation. The additional things are the owner has bought another property has moved, has vacated. So those would be two other issues, which might be considered to be reasonable costs and damages as a result of the expropriation, but maybe not. If we could maybe all just apply mine.
Thank you, Madam.
Chapter 9, related matters. Service and publication of documents and language used therein. 24(1). Whenever a notice in terms of section 7(1), a notice of expropriation, a notice in terms of section 11(2) to an expropriated holder, or a notice of withdrawal in terms of 23(1)(b) is required to be served in terms of this act, the original or certified copy thereof must A. be delivered or tendered to the address, C. personally at his or her residential address, place of business or such address or place as the expropriating authority and address they may in writing agree upon. B. Be posted by privilege registered post to the postal address of addresses. C. Be published in the manner upon them added in subsection 2(1). If the whereabouts of the person concerned are unknown to the expropriating authority and is not readily ascertainable after taking reasonable steps. Or 2. In the case of fideicommissars, in respect of a property which is subject to a fideicommiss, and it is not known to the expropriating authority who all the fideicommissars are or will be, or C. If none of the modes of service set out in paragraphs A to C are practicable under the circumstances, be served in accordance with such directions as the court on application may direct. 2. Whenever publication of a notice in terms of section 7(1) or 7(b)(3), a notice of expropriation or other document is required by this act, publication must take place A.
by the publication of the notice of document in English or in any other official language commonly used in the area where the property is situated.
Okay. I don't have any objections or any comments to make. I just a point of order. I wonder if it's necessary for a legal advisor to read every single word if the committee agrees that they kind of don't have problems. I want to raise something under city amendment of that, that's all. So,
let's give it the opportunity just to read through it, and then if there's anything, then we know we have covered it. You'll also be able to raise what you want to raise.
Mm.
I know we are hungry, but
Clause 24, service and publication of documents and language used in.
Thank you, Chair. I thought we were doing it to correct, so that we are sure that we are done with that particular. If we go through the report and there is nothing to raise, it will be well raised, then we pass and get to 25 and so on and so on, until we get to number 6.
It will take a little bit longer, but it will get us there. Let's just do that. I want all of you, I don't want you to say that, hey, we didn't read my section that I wanted to raise. That was fun. Madam, pardon me for scratching your voice.
Whenever publication of a notice in terms of section 7.1 or 7.A.2.3, 7.B.3, a notice of a supreme or other document is required by this Act. Publication must take place, A, by the publication of the notice or document in English or in any other official language commonly used in the area where the property is situated, one, in the Gazette, and simultaneously therewith, or not more than 1 week thereafter. Once in the said language is in too widely circulated and accessible newspapers of different languages circulated in the area at which the property is situated, B, if the property is lent by the display of the notice in the said language is on such land, in a conspicuous place from not later than the date of publication in the Gazette contemplated in paragraph A and C, if the operating authority deems necessary in the circumstances by the advertising in such languages as may be appropriate on television or radio, transmitting to the area where the property is situated in the languages commonly used in that area, the contents of the advertisement to adhere as closely as is practicable to the content of the notice or document to advertise to. Whenever a document must or may be delivered in terms of this Act, delivery must take place by delivering A to the owner and holder of an unregistered right in a property known to the probating authority at the address appointed in the notice in terms of Section 7.1. The notice of expropriation, the notice in terms of Section 11.2 or other document as the case may be, and B, to any owner, holder or an unregistered right of an unregistered right, person who has lodged an objection or submission contemplated in Section 7.2.3, expropriated owner and expropriated holder at the address or facsimile number appointed by such person in terms of this Act, or in the absence thereof, one, at an address applied in respect of such person in terms of this Act, two, at the residential or postal address of such person if known to the expropriating authority, or three, if no address of such person is known to or readily ascertainable by the expropriating authority, by publication in the manner contemplated in subsection 2A. For the delivery contemplated in subsection 3 must take place at the address in question either by hand, personal transmission, provided that a confirmatory copy of the document is sent by ordinary mail or by any other suitable method within 1 day of such transmission, or 3, registered post. 5, whenever a document or a part of a document which is in color has to be delivered, every copy thereof which is delivered, or in the case of a suspected mail transmission, the confirmatory copy must be in the same color as the original. 6. All documents must be in English, and if an address is prior to a communication expressed in writing a person of another language, also in that said official language. 7. Every address who has received a communication from the associating authority is entitled to report in writing a translation of that communication into the official language indicated in the request. 25. Extension of time. 25, whenever a period is mentioned within which something must be done in terms of this expropriation authority may, on written request in good cause shown by the relevant owner or relevant holder of the right and property or other interested or affected person, as the case may be, from time to time, extend that period for a further period or periods as needed reasonable in circumstances. 26, expropriation register. 26.1, the Director General must ensure that a register of all expropriations that are intended is prepared and withdrawn.
But you say all tokens must be in English, and other languages must have it referable.
Madam, were you able to get the issue that Honorable Sitole foregrounded?
Yes, sir. I'll take the one to the subcase, the one that talks about Master Omei. That one specifically refers within the processes, the way the substance where it's compulsory to give documents, then the circumstances where it's not compulsory to give documents. That's why there's a must and a need. Then it means then you must, in circumstances where you deliver, you must deliver the documents this way. So it's correct that way, honourable member. And the other question, sorry.
Yes, sir. I think we would like to hear a major speech by our new colleague. We can't go to that without even hearing how it sounds like. Can't we?
Mr. Fritani,
I'd like to assure you that she's more than articulate. When she goes for it, she goes for it. So you'll hear a voice at the appropriate time. Members, I must also just say we had ordered lunch. I know there are pressures, people need to go and prepare for the debate, but those who are available, there will be lunch served outside. I'm a very poor chairperson, and I'm just trying to avoid fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Members, yes? Honorable member.
Thank you, Lebosh. I think on number 6, he talks about statements being in English. But if the person concerned has already indicated a preferred language other than English, it should be done in that way. I think that is what we have agreed upon previously from the beginning. Thank you.
And also, Chairperson, if you read 7, 7 also assists in that respect. Every addressee has received a written communication from the corporation is entitled to request in writing a translation of that communication into the official language indicated in the request. So you will have English, and if people specify certain documents to be in a certain language, then they will also be provided with documents in the language they understand or of their choice.
Kutok says suggestion, even before it was fully made, I saw quite a number of people nodding in assent that we should break at this juncture for lunch. May I perhaps say, check what's the possibility? We today included the new formulations of clauses 17 to 20. Is it possible to get a clean version of the book for the next time that we meet? Then we'll just have the last portion, which is fairly fast. Then it takes us close to the next day where we'll have the final clause that will go through clause by clause and vote on the next time we meet. But the next meeting will be to finish what we are doing, and Akona will advise the earliest opportunity that we can meet. You may, ma'am.
If there are issues scheduled for the 3rd, 10th, and 17th, but at the same time, I see we now have full day deliveries from 11 in the morning. What are we doing? Are we we have permission to pick the scenery, but surely not because it's a lot of urgency. So it looks to me like these scenes can be able to fall away.
Thank you for reading that. The committee clerk pointed out that to me that the plenaries will commence at 11 in order for us to conclude the work that we are busy with. I was going to appeal that we commence our meetings at 9 instead of half past 9 so that we just complete the more meetings that we must at that point where we are just in front of the finishing line in regards to this process. So we'll make the necessary applications so that we can meet just to complete this process. Otherwise, if we miss several more meetings, then already we are looking at next year, which should not be the ideal situation. Good folks. I know members have articulated they've got other committees that they need to service. So that's the problem that I have with respect to meet tomorrow. Members, yes?
I just wanted to check as to whether I want to be possible as to the branch that you just announced could go maybe up to half past, then from half past to 2, we continue and maybe we might finish the meeting.
You have forgotten, Honorable Member. At 2 o'clock there's a debate, and then some members would like to go to their offices to prepare for the debate that you are having.
That is fine.
I agree with you, Mr. Bertan. Fees have fallen, but the exam must rise. Thank you.